Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, it's Friday the 5th of April. Hope you're okay and thank you for downloading today's podcast. Our top story today, a Dover man who thought his girlfriend was cheating on him has faced court after swapping her medication for laxatives. Richard Black was caught on a CCTV camera the couple had installed at their home. Lucy's got the details for the Kent Online podcast. Lucy, this seems like a bizarre story. What can you tell us?
Yes, well, it all started last June when Richard Black's partner started to feel unwell. She described at first feeling lightheaded and then faint. Her symptoms then got progressively worse and she began to suffer from sickness and diarrhea. 2 days later, she checked the CCTV footage from their kitchen and spotted Richard tampering with her medication the night before she fell ill. She'd confronted him about it, but he tried to blame the sickness on poorly prepared prawns.
And there were accusations from Richard that his partner had been cheating.
That's right. A court heard how Richard had checked the same CCTV footage and saw something that led him to believe his partner was being unfaithful. The 51-year-old who lives in Valeview said he was remorseful of the way he handled the situation and it was very out of character for him. He pleaded guilty to a charge of administering poison with intent to annoy.
During the proceedings, the judge said it was a relatively unusual offence, not often seen in the Crown Court. So how was he sentenced?
The judge said Richard's actions had a significant psychological impact on his victim and that he took a wholly inappropriate route. However, it was taken into account that he hasn't intended to cause actual bodily harm. He was handed a 5-year restraining order banning contact with his now ex-partner and mother of his children. He must also undertake 180 hours of unpaid work over the next 18 months and pay costs of £535.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A murder investigation has been launched after a Chatham assault victim died in hospital. The man in his 30s was found in a property in the High Street on Monday, but police say he may have been assaulted earlier on Magpie Hall Road. A 43-year-old man has been taken into custody. A second person who was arrested has been released without charge. A person's been taken to hospital after a van overturned on the M2 between Sittingbourne and Faversham. 3 fire engines, police and paramedics were called to the coast bound carriageway just after 6 this morning. There were delays on the motorway for several hours. A Chatham man has been cleared of murdering a convicted paedophile. Simon Brown, who lives in Snowdon Close, admitted the manslaughter of the 71-year-old in Borstal in September last year, but said he never intended to kill him. The 28-year-old is due back in court for sentencing in June. A Kent dad's been telling the Kent Online podcast about the moment he almost died when his moped crashed head-on with a car. Warren Porritt suffered serious injuries in Marden in 2016 and spent 12 weeks in hospital. He's been speaking to Oliver from our colleagues at KMTV.
It was Father's Day, beautiful summer's June day, and I thought I'd take my beautiful scooter out for a quick ride. Unfortunately, that quick ride turned into being away from home for 12 weeks. I'd had a head-on collision with a car on a blind bend on a single-track country lane, which resulted in me breaking all of my ribs on my right side, and fragments of my ribs had darted through my thorax, lacerating my spleen, kidney and liver. I'd lost 9 pints of blood internally, and also I was able to breathe in, but I couldn't breathe out, so my lungs had collapsed under the pressure. It was also putting extra strain on my internal organs. The KSS team turned up and they were able to perform major roadside surgery on me, transfuse blood and put me asleep with anaesthetic, take me back to the base, work on me further in the helicopter hangar, and then fly me off to King's, where I was resuscitated for a further 3 hours, put into an induced coma, lots of operations, and spent 12 weeks there.
So for you, what was it like, what was your experience with the air ambulance team when they arrived? Like, how did it feel to know that they were there supporting you on the scene, doing all those major work that you wouldn't normally expect from a paramedic team?
Yeah, so obviously I was in quite an alien situation. I was laying on the tarmac for a start in the middle of the road, staring up at the sky. And I remember being really calmed and reassured by just these normal people dressed in red. They were so calm, reassuring, matter of fact, and I just felt so relaxed. It was just overwhelming, really. But keeping me calm, which I guess was really important for my recovery. And I'll say they worked on me immediately, and yeah, I didn't suffer any pain at all, and just felt really, really well looked after and reassured.
Do you think you would be here today if it wasn't for the air ambulance team that came to help you after the accident that day?
Absolutely not. I was told that I had literally seconds to minutes to live after they arrived at the scene. There were three procedures that they had to take immediately, and had they been done in a different order, I might not be standing here today. Fortunately, they made instinctive decisions at the time, and the life-saving interventions they made saved my life within minutes to stabilise me and get me breathing again and relax some of the pressure that was my internal body was being put under.
And what was like the aftercare like from the air ambulance team? What support did you receive afterwards?
So after I came out from a very traumatic long stay in hospital and lots of operations, my head was really scrambled. I had very strange insecurities, highly vulnerable, invited down to the base to meet the team. And that was a life-saving experience on its own. My kids were really young. They came along with me. They were able to sit in a helicopter and put on the helmets. And all of a sudden, I'd got this new family, and it was KSS. And we refer to that whenever I speak with the KSS team. And they really are another forever extended family.
He's sharing his story as the air ambulance charity Kent Surrey Sussex launches an appeal to raise £1 million to buy their helicopter.
Kent Online News.
A Kent company has been fined £175,000 following the death of an employee. Gravesend man Liam McArdle was killed while working for Erith Plant Services Limited in 2021. An investigation found failings with company practices led to the 24-year-old's death. They were also ordered to pay nearly £40,000 in costs. A man's been sent to prison after drunkenly threatening a delivery driver with a knife in Gravesend. Jimmy Lee demanded a lift from the vehicle in London Road last November before assaulting the driver and stealing his wallet and gloves. The 36-year-old from York Road in Northfleet has been locked up for 6 years. Two men have been charged over an assault and robbery in Whitstable. Three people wearing balaclavas broke into a house in the Warren in February. They stole cash before fleeing in a black BMW. The suspects are both from Herne Bay. Plans to house teenage asylum seekers at a care home on Sheppey have been scrapped. The owners of Ocean Heights in Minster have pulled out of a deal to sell the building to the council. It follows a huge backlash and protest from people who live in the area. Now, there's been a mixed response to the reopening of a Kent park and ride, with some saying it's a priceless service, but others say it's a waste of money. The site in Sturry Road along the A28 in Canterbury was shelved by the City Council in 2022 due to dwindling numbers. It's now been brought back at a cost of around £230,000 as part of the local administration's plans to adopt a bus-first strategy. Our reporter Millie's been speaking to people at the park and ride, including Dora Kelly.
How often do you use the park and ride?
Every day when we come to work.
And are you pleased to see it reopen?
Very pleased to see it open. We're halfway home when you come to Sturry Road, because obviously we live in Margate and my friend lives in Ramsgate. We car share to come in, so this is absolutely priceless.
Before this opened, how was your journey into work?
Absolutely awful, because obviously you'd have to traipse all the way across Canterbury, and if they're trying to cut down emissions, and at the end of the day that's not really a good shout, because you're travelling all the way into Canterbury just to come all the way back. And sometimes when the traffic's really bad, when you're coming down Reams Way, it can take you over an hour to, you know, get through there, let alone get the rest of your journey done.
Lois Barker also uses the park and ride to get to work. She says it's a really useful service.
All the other ones are very, if you're coming from Dover, they're very hard to get to. I've tried the Dover park and ride. You have to go all the way through sort of country lanes, whereas this one's an ideal situation for us. And do you think it's a good decision that they've reopened it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, transport into Canterbury is really difficult and it's quite expensive. This is the cheapest alternative and it means that you don't have to go and park in Canterbury.
The Kent Online podcast visited the site during the week. It's got enough space for almost 600 cars. At about 8:15 a.m, there were 7 vehicles in the car park. Within the next hour, 19 more arrived.
Kent Online News.
Plans to bring a second nightclub to Ashford have been rejected for the third time. The latest proposals would see a long, empty restaurant in Park Street transformed into a live music venue, but the council fear it'll be too noisy and disruptive. Despite the rejections, business partners behind the idea say they're not giving up. Kent MP Tom Tugendhat has paid tribute to his cousin Adrian Schiller, who's died at the age of 60. He was a TV and stage actor who starred in Death in Paradise and Victoria. The Tunbridge and Morley MP says he'll miss him deeply, but his memory is a blessing. The School Streets initiative that was rolled out in parts of Medway is now going to be trialled in Dartford. A traffic-free zone will be set up around Holy Trinity Primary on Chatsworth Road when children go back after the Easter break. It's hoped it'll cut pollution and improve safety for children. Head over to Kent Online to see drone footage of work to repair a landslip on a Kent railway line. No trains have been running between Tunbridge and Red Hill since Good Friday. Engineers from Network Rail are working to stabilise the embankment and aim to reopen the line by the 15th of April. And an Airbus A319 has found a new home at a school in Maidstone. The former Air Portugal plane was craned into 5-acre wood school in Boughton Lane, which specialises in the education of children with autism and learning difficulties. The cockpit and part of the fuselage will be turned into a new library.
Kent Online News.
Now, with a look at some of the events and activities taking place across Kent, here's our What's On editor, Sam Laurie.
Welcome back. After a long weekend and an Easter break, I hope you're feeling somewhat refreshed and ready to get stuck into a fun-filled weekend, if you're not too full of leftover chocolate and hot cross buns, that is. Now, the bank holiday might be over, but there's still another week to squeeze out of the school holidays. If your kids are getting restless, our guide to the Easter break is still up online and there are plenty of fun activities going on all over the county. Spend the day at places like Leeds Castle, Kent Life, Dover Castle, Bettshanger Park, Hever Castle, Howlett's and Port Lim, the Chatham Dockyard or Penshurst Place. All of these attractions are keeping up the Easter festivities for another week, so you're sure to find something the whole family will enjoy. For something a little different, why not head to the Heritage Transport Show at the Kent Event Centre this Saturday and admire over 1,000 vintage vehicles. The Retro Car Show, which also features buses, motorbikes and military vehicles, also boasts a food market, merchandise stalls, free bus rides and a fairground. Tickets can be bought on the gate, so it doesn't matter if you haven't booked in advance, just head down to the Detling Showground and see where the day takes you. And look, I'm still happily making my way through the stash of chocolate, but if you're looking for a way to burn off some of those Easter eggs, Canterbury's Step Into Spring Walking Festival takes place this weekend and it's a great chance to get some exercise while exploring one of Kent's most historic cities. There are lots of different walks taking place, from literary tours linked to Christopher Marlowe and Geoffrey Chaucer, to following the footsteps of Kent's royal visitors throughout the centuries. There's also a ghost hunt, wildlife walk and art trail, to name just a few. All walks cost £14 per person and can be booked online. Now, don't worry, I won't leave you without a few cracking theatre recommendations for the weekend, so listen up. The award-winning Blood Brothers is currently touring the UK and is at the Orchard West Theatre in Dartford until Saturday night. But don't worry if you miss it, as it's also at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells later this month. Agatha Christie's Edge of Your Seat Whodunit and Then There Were None is also still playing up until Saturday night. You can catch that one at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley. And finally, Strictly's sensational dancer Graziano De Prima is putting on a Latin and ballroom extravaganza at the Granville Theatre in Ramsgate on Saturday. The show includes dazzling routines and stories from Graziano and his wife and dance partner, who also competes on Dancing with the Stars, Strictly's American counterpart. That's just about everything for this week, so I'll wrap up here and I'll let you get back to enjoying what's left of the Easter holidays. I'll also keep my fingers crossed that we start seeing some of that lovely spring weather over the weekend.
Thanks, Sam.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and the Gillingham Boss says their future is on the line as they face Bradford City in League 2 this weekend. They suffered a heavy 5-1 defeat away at Harrogate last time out. It means the Gills will have to win all of their remaining fixtures if they're to have any hope of making it to the playoffs. Head coach Stephen Clements says there are lessons to be learned.
There's been a lot of hurt in the camp. Obviously, there was a lot of anger after the game. We then came in the next morning and we had a calmer chat amongst everybody in our lecture theatre. A few things were got off people's chests, and we move on now. Now, eventually, you have to draw a line under it, and we have to move on to the next game, and that's what we've been trying to do since then. We've had some really good away performances, haven't we? I was expecting no different, and it was looking that way, and for a large part of the game. Now, momentum shifted, and we made some mistakes that, as I say, were out of character. We've not seen before. It can happen. Look, I've been beat 7 before in an FA Cup quarter final by Liverpool. I've been beat 6 at St James's Park by Newcastle, and I've told the players this. Everybody's had a bit of a doing at some point in their careers. But what you can't do is let it ever happen again. And it only ever happened in those teams I was involved in once. It never happened again. And we had to talk about how that doesn't happen again, because there will be times in games where momentum shifts and you're up against it. And what you can't do is go under like that. So the boys know what to do should that ever happen again. Hopefully we're not in that situation where we concede goals quickly. Look, we've got a big game to look forward to at the weekend, and that's where my focus is now, and that's where the players' focus is too. Obviously there'll be a big crowd, big stadium. The pitch isn't great. That'll be a challenge. So it's obviously, I'm sure that Graham's not too happy with his pitch at the moment. He's happy with his home pitch at the moment. So that'll be different. And obviously they've got some good players, and we've got a good idea how we think they will play, and we've got to obviously go and take them on. But no, it's always a challenge going to Bradford away, isn't it? They're a big football team, probably arguably the biggest supported club in the division, aren't they? So it's going to be a tough game, but it's one that we should be looking forward to after what's just happened on Monday. The good thing in football is you get knocked down a lot, but you get an opportunity to get back up and go again very, very quickly. And that's what the boys and myself, we're looking to do on the weekend.
Kick-off tomorrow is at 3. And a paralysed man from Maidstone has been telling us how his disability led to him becoming a British shooting champion. Bill Wilson broke his neck while on holiday in 2018. He took up shooting while going through rehab. The 61-year-old says he even set up a range at home, which involves him firing his air rifle through the hallway and kitchen and into the conservatory. He spoke to Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV.
It's always a good live outside. Shorts, T-shirt and flip-flops. I was a scuba diver instructor trainer with Paddy. Dived all around the world and almost up to ski, FIS ski instructor, advanced skier. Taught my son, took several people, my daughters to ski. Advanced motorcyclist, toured the world, you know, Europe, take the boat to Holland, down to south of France. And And all those things came to a very abrupt end on the 1st of May 2018 when I had an unfortunate accident in Holland. Fell down some stairs and I was taking my mother out to see the Tulip Festival. And yes, in the blink of an eyelid, your world's changed. I'm always one to sort of like push myself. I'm not one of these people to sit in a horseshoe looking out window. I had to find something else that would keep me motivated, particularly as I'm sitting in a wheelchair, and it's literally, yeah, this is my biggest enemy and also my best friend. So I had to find something which would keep me going. And I found that obviously whilst I was at rehab at Stoke Mandeville. I was there for 4 months and had an opportunity to try out several different sports at the Sir Ludwig Goodwin Stadium, which is now called the Stoke Mandeville, which is the home of the 2012 Olympics, and tried the wheelchair rugby. That was pretty mental. Basketball, volleyball, table tennis, and I came across the shooting and thought, yeah, I could sort of like rekindle my shooting skills. And the secretary there, Damien Hinchliffe, said, "You've got a good eye. When you leave, join a local club," which I did, Tubbs Lake, in just outside Cranbrook. I also joined the Disability Shooting Club, for GB, which is one of the hub centres, goes into the Paralympic team. And really started sort of entering competitions in 2020. And I was doing quite well, actually. I've, to my tally now, I think I've got 11 gold medals, 4 silvers, 3 bronze.
Bill won gold at the British Open Air Gun Championships and has his sights set on the Paralympics. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're there on the website, why not take a look at the latest review from The Secret Drinker.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.